Couples, praise God. How many of you noticed that Pastor David's prayer has a kind of a pattern to it, that some prayers we don't do here and some prayers we do? If you notice that it's around certain corners, and they are usually in the New Testament, particularly the epistles. It's actually a deliberate strategy. I've been a Christian for a couple of years now. This is my over 4 decades of being a Christian, born again. Okay. But I noticed something, that the Christian people, they go and become stagnant. And as they get older, the fervency of faith, the desire to continue, start going down low, and they begin to substitute material progress for spiritual progress. It's okay. They start scrambling like everybody else. In fact, right now, you see Christians trying to become Oba, all kinds of things all over the place. And finding, I'm not fighting anybody, please don't get me wrong. I'm talking about, are there depths to our Christian life that could be satisfied more than just what we see? And that's why, if you look at even this morning when Pastor David prayed, let's go to that place, chapter 1, Colossians, verse 9. Take a look. Take a look. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled. That something fills you up. That means we should be an ever-expanding container. We should not just get to a particular point, and a Christian should not say, that's who I am. Because who you are is always expanding. It's always getting bigger and better than ever before. I believe that. I believe that we are God's children growing toward God. And God is an infinite person. So there should not be a kind of a retardation in our walk with God. And can I say this? A lot of our problems, both visible and invisible, if you go to the root of it, has to do with our spiritual not really going quite well. For instance, somebody will ask me, how can I know which depth to enter into? It takes more of spiritual sensitivity and stamina to know what to do. Am I making some sense over here? I can't decide for you which loan to take. I can't determine for you. See, when you are crumbling under the load of debt, what to do, how to get out of it, how to solve the problem, that depends on your ever-expanding spiritual experience. Look at this verse. Look at next verse. We start talking about what will happen. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully expanding, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful, productive in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm sorry to say this. Some people, the last thing they learned very well was in their school days, in the Bible, knowledge of God. One of our greatest men of God said, if all I know this week is what I learned last week, I'm backsliding. Why am I saying this to us? Let's look at Ephesians 3, verse 20. Just think this morning about our lives. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. You know, Christians usually, talk to my wife, we talk. Christians usually think that God comes from above to do His work in our lives. Not really. His power is in us. His power is in us. Recently, we wanted to do some running of wire. And I said they should buy a particular wire. And they told me the wire couldn't carry the current necessary. I said, let's try it. They tried, they just started breaking off, so they had to get another higher wire. It's not about the power, it's about the wire. So a lot of time, when we look at this verse, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we, according in the degree of the power that works in us, not in God. God is powerful, but it's what is working in us. And I want us to look at our salvation, please listen to this, not as a past experience. That's why all this argument, once saved, always saved. Salvation is not just a past experience. And that's what Peter had been talking about. Let's go to 1 Peter 1 again. Not a past experience. Being born into this world is not a past experience. It's still working. Am I right? You're growing, you are getting mature every day. 1 Peter 1. The Christian life should not just be that. I was somewhere yesterday, I was causing trouble. I said, you know, today in church, we have two classes, members and workers. But what about stages of life? What about maturing? Like one lady, she was in UK. She served like crazy in her church. And then she came to Nigeria, got married, and went back to Islam. And they said, what happened? He said, I serve God there, and I'm married, and husband, and I'm a Muslim now, and I'm going to serve God there too. By the way, in Islam, it's Eru Olorun, slaves of God, just serve. Let's look at 1 Peter 1. Let me read something to you. Look at verse 10. Of this salvation, can you take a look? Can you take a look? Can you take a look? Sometimes this Christian life can be so drab and dull. But look at what the Bible says. This is shocking to me. Of this salvation, the prophet of old, all those men, Elijah, Elisha, all of them, Moses, all of them, have inquired and searched carefully. Who prophesied of the grace that will come to you? Those prophets prophesied of the grace that will come to you. Look at next verse. And searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified before, and the sufferings of Christ and the glories that will follow. Look at next verse. To them, it was revealed that not to themselves, when those prophets, Malachi, all of them, but to us, they were ministering the things which have now been revealed to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Can I be honest with you? Can I be honest with you? Can you just imagine an angel come to my house, spend 1 week in my house? Will he ever get excited by my Christian life? Will he ever really see that all that Jesus went to the cross for and all that he was doing was, he said, angel desire to look into. If angel ever got hold of your phone, will he be excited? Like one lady, she was in church, she was going to Canada, and then she got trapped during the COVID time in Abeokuta. And she planned to spend some few months, and the few months became a year or two. And then she began to stay here. And finally, she had to get out of here because they couldn't even get plane out to Canada. So she had to go to Benin Republic. So she had to go to Benin Republic and then go to Canada. When she got to Canada, at the airport, I think I told you before, and at the airport, one just said, we are not coming, all of you Nigerians that go through another country, we are not taking you in. We are, all of you, you are not going to enter our country. So they blocked them right at the border. But then suddenly, one of the women just got up. He said, give me your phones. Give me your phones. Because you know those ones, you wanted to find out those ones who are actually just doing all kinds of things, silly things to come to you. So they took the sister's phone from her hand. Say, open it. And when she went through the phone, stop and said, let her enter, she's clean. Let her enter. When she saw her chats, her discussions, the things on her phone, she said, This is a different person. I told you another story one time. I think I told you that one before too, about one of my elderly ladies years ago when I was moving around before I became a pastor. So I can't remember those days, you know, of Vicar Franco. Now this elderly lady in Ibadan, that she has some children, I think Cardiff was a doctor. And she had to travel, and the son asked her to bring shaving powder. So she packed the shaving powder, she got to the airport in Cardiff, and they said, stop, because she's Nigerian. And then they saw this white powder, cocaine. So they said, let her stay there. So they packed her. And in those days, there was no cell phone to text, so I would write her letters. I wonder how I got across those letters to her. So I write her letters, So she packed my letters when she was traveling, she packed them along with her. So the custom man stopped at Cardiff West Airport, and when she started searching her load, she found these bunches of letters. The correspondence between us and her, between me and her. And when the man read, he just sat down and he read. After he finished reading, he said, please repack her load, she's clean, let her go. Till came back later to tell me, isn't there more to the Christian faith than just come to church and then serve? Can we deepen our faith on our own? Can we get more out of this than just normal life? Let's look at our Bible. Glory to Jesus. I want you to look at verse 6. We read last week. Let's see a few things. Just want to make some few comments. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. Verse 6, I'll say 1 Peter. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by what? Various trials. Look here. This kind of country we live in, you, as you are leaving one, you are going to another. But I want to warn you though, you are overestimating human nature. Let me just drop this. I want to, so that your grief will be limited. Your grief, some of you are grieving too much. Like somebody asked me recently, we are going, I said, Reverend, can I ask you a question? How can you keep on living in this country? You know, the person was a little bit frustrated. So he said, Reverend, I said, I'm okay. I told him, I said, let's do that. Let's move down over there. Get down over there. Make a call. He said, you know, I was thinking, where will he go? There won't be that one frustration. Oh, but at least there'll be water, there'll be light, there'll be road. Am I right? And there'll be taxis. You know? So I said, for instance, he said, the road to my house. How many of you been to my house in recent time? You know, there's a Wall Street in my house now. I live on Wall Street, New York City. I went to grammar school. People came and made the wall and made our road bad. And the person was saying, how can you live on that road? I told my wife, I said, I'm not thinking about road, I'm thinking of where I'm going. If I focus on the road, I will not sort out my life at all. And you go slow or else your car will get spoiled. So what do you do? Just get out there. We're going somewhere. Amen, somebody. Tell yourself, I'm going somewhere with my life. No matter where I pass through, praise the Lord. Amen. So I was saying that see, we are grieved by many things. Oh, somebody just took some money, 50 billion, humanitarian affairs, this one, 50 billion, you know, you be grieved continually. I want us to minimize our grief. Pastor, how do you minimize my grief? Stop expecting too much from this world. Be expecting more from your Christian faith and the kingdom of God. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? I want you to start expecting more from your faith, from your salvation, from the kingdom of God, than expecting more from this life. Are you hearing me? And from people. Bible says, if all our hope is in this life, we are the most miserable of all men. That's in the Bible. So be expecting more of what is contained within you to tackle the problem around you. I don't know which office you are working. I don't know which department. I don't know which company. I don't know which business. Start seeing that as something more inside of you to take care of this than just what you have. Of course, we will use the world around us. We will do what we can with this world. Dollar rate will turn, do that. But at the same time, I can do all things. Let's look at that verse in Amplified Classic. Let's go. Philippians 4:13. That we can answer. I'm pleading with you. Not only on Monday, Sunday morning, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Give us on the screen. Philippians 1. Okay. I have strength for all things. From who? In Christ. Who what? Not Tinubu. Not the dollars. Not the business. Not the testimony. Not the profit. I'm empowered by something more. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him. Not through society, not through somebody's power or somebody's experience or my education. Who infuses inner strength into me? I'm self-sufficient and I'm asking you to stand up to it. You know, recently, I've been doing history and I've been watching people like Alexander the Great. About 2 weeks ago, I was watching the story of John D. Rockefeller, the first billionaire in America. He was giving tithe of his money, all the money he get. Toward the end of his life, he started giving to foundations. Because okay, they enjoyed the foundation those days, you know, Rockefeller. But you know what I heard about Rockefeller? They said he will turn every trial to an opportunity. Every test in business, he will turn it to an opportunity. And he was making so much money. I was surprised to find out that crude oil, those days, was actually for kerosene, not for fuel. It's after they brought car in, they started talking about PMS oil, or fuel. And this man will be making moves. A time came, they were so against him that he had built such an empire, financial empire, that the country's president, America, began to campaign to deal with him. You know what I just said? A whole, can you imagine, U.S. president was campaigning that. In my campaign promise, I plan to deal with John D. Rockefeller. His business is too big. We're going to break it up. And he was voted in. That means the whole country agreed with him. And they got together. And they sued him to different courts at different levels. And they broke up his business. When they finished breaking the business, he had more money than when he started. And it was a Baptist, not even a Pentecostal, who's talking about power. Are you hearing me? He said he was a crazy guy, he was too greedy kind of a thing. But he would take his family to church regularly. And when he was 70, he became a philanthropist. He was giving money all over the world. Till today, you'll see John D. Rockefeller stuff all over the place. Now that's just a man. How much more God in us? So I'm pleading with you, don't let that getting older just say, Nigeria, want to lower, want to be wale. Are you Ibasolisha? You don't know. That's an expanding possibility. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Let's read some things more. Let's go out to 1 Peter. Let's read some things more. And I'm going to give you two things that are important here while we are dealing with what we are dealing with. Let's go back to, we read verse 6, right? We read verse 6. 1 Peter 1 verse 6. Now, we read this. Next verse says this, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory, revelation of Jesus Christ. Can you look up? I was thinking, what is the trademark of a growing Christian? And I saw two words I want to share with you. When you say somebody is going to be growing as a Christian, what are the two trademarks? Look at next verse. It says, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory. Look at next verse. Receiving the end of your faith. This verse is shocking for me a little bit. Salvation to many of us is what we start with, not the end. Am I right? You see, can you look up anybody over here? See, when I ask you, are you saved? You think, I am saved 20 years ago, 30 years ago. That is the beginning of our journey with God. But according to Peter, Peter was saying that there's something also that is the end of your faith, the result of your faith, is the salvation of your soul, is the change of, like, I remember when Higgins' book started coming to the country in the late 80s, started talking about, actually, your soul is not saved when you get born again. Hello? Hello? He said, no. He said, yeah, you are born again, your spirit is reborn. Your body is not changed yet. That your soul is the magnificent you, is the powerful you, is your identity. Picking up the Christian life. See, when just like a child, if you look at a child now, a child is a human being. But nobody can tell me that child is fully human being yet. Am I right? That human life that was gotten at birth becomes growing and getting bigger. And when it's 35 and 40 and leading things, we can see a human fully alive. So salvation is just more than I got it in my pockets. I'm not going to lose it. Or be careful, you may lose it too. But now, salvation is an expanding territory. We are coming by the door. How many of you know John 10:10? How many of you know John 10:10? I've come that we might have life. Have you ever read John 10 verse 9? Take a look. You know John 10:10 verse 9, quickly. John 10 verse 9. Take a look at this. This is before John 10:10. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And see, after save is comma. And he will go in and out and find pasture. See, Jesus is saying that when you get saved, you are the door. You have not entered into everything. You're just at the door. You just give me an entrance. Will you just stay at the door of a party you are going to and say, I've attended the party? You don't say that. You're just starting the thing. I mean, the pasture is the more abundant life. And we have to go in and out. We have to explore these things. We have to... Now, someone said, Pastor, you are talking like a spiritual. No, I'm talking about who you are. I'm talking about even your vocation. I'm talking about even your career. I'm talking about even your parenting. I'm talking about even your family. Have you ever stopped and asked yourself, this woman that God gave me, how far can I go with her? What can we do together? How far can we do? In recent time, I've been looking at my wife with a new eye. Is a child of God, daughter of the Almighty, servant of the gospel. Am I making her all she can be? Am I cooperating with her life? Am I just dragging her around? I'm the head and she should follow. This pastoring I'm doing. Now, some of you now, I'm pastoring your children. I'm thinking, I'm excited every day. I'm thinking, can we, what's the essence of this? My friends, my colleagues, they are wondering about Japa. And they are thinking about, technology. For me, it's exciting. When they Japa, we can get more to church. And we can put on satellite, whatever it is, to keep communicating with them. And build up in Africa. Are you hearing me? And I'm coming to see that Africa is becoming the HR of the world. We've got the human resources. We've got growing population. Where are they going to go? We can't keep them here. Let's spread them around the world. And I read about Daniel opening a window toward Jerusalem. That's called internet connection. Windows 2010 or something. It become a portable faith. And my friends are wondering. And I told them, I said, you are wondering that they are watching you online. You go to camp. You see the Bible yourself. Answer me. You go to camp. You see the Bible. You see the Bible. You watch screen, right? You watch. Am I right? How many of you have gone to camp before? You see the Bible. You never seen him. You see the Lord line. You see the thing on the screen. So what's wrong with screen? Let's explore everything. So your spark. Are you hearing me? Do you know what? God has given you enough life and experience now. You are the best in his hand now. There was a man of God called Lester Sumrall. When he was 80, God said, I need you. Can you help me feed my hungry children in Africa? He said, God, I'm too old. God said, you are old enough for me to trust you. Did you hear that? There are some things I'm not looking for anymore that I'm not bothered about now. Because God can say, oh, you can go. So the older we get, the better we are. Praise God. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? And our faith, I don't want you to just park and become chief in your village. Your village is too small. Huh? Apology for chiefs and princes here. So, but I'm talking about, okay, look at Prof now, VC. What standard will he set? What place will he give? That's what we're talking about. Not just sit in the cab and say, at the day, bye bye. And Prof hates that. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, let me expose him a little bit some more. Usually, when they come, anybody who comes in to buy his own car, and he got his own Jeep, and Prof went to go and take the old Jeep and renovate it. What do you call it? What is it? What do you say now? Refurbish it. I run around. That thing is a refurbished car. He said, I got work to do. I got work to do. I'm not thinking about that now. There are possibilities. Look at our country with all the troubles we are having. Where are the Josephs? Where are the Daniels? Oh, am I making some sense? And can I warn you, all your small trials you are facing at work, at home, in your business, is a preparation for something bigger in your life. Am I making some sense? Our children struggle. Maybe that your child has given you trouble is making you to become more human than ever before. Like I was talking to one couple yesterday when we were finishing. The daughter was having some struggle after a while. And he said, you know what? We have grown. She has grown. Praise God, somebody. We have grown. She has grown. That's what I'm talking about. But all this just fixing everything on demons, deliverance, money, no. There's bigger things than that. Just fixing on living your life on demons attacking you. It's time to get something bigger. That's a pasture. Not oppression. That's a bigger thing, God. Hallelujah. Am I making some sense this morning? You know, my colleagues, all they think about is ministry. I said, forget it. Let's explore what we have. Let's go further than this. Look at God's people sitting in your churches. What are you doing with your life? How are you doing with it? Look at your children. Look at your youth. Look at your marriage. Look at where are we going? What are we doing with our lives? No, ministry will move. I want to travel a ton. You hearing me? It's our finest hour. I know things are difficult. I remember last business breakfast, I came here and I said, you know what? This odd trouble is going on now. It's separating men from the boys. That's what's going on now. If you're running a school now, it's separating proprietors from proprietors. You are tackling, working. If you are running bakery or whatever you are doing, you are looking at it, you are running a business, like selling something. How do we? I believe that all that is giving us wisdom to handle life better. Am I making some sense this morning? So, what I'm saying this morning, I'm simply saying this. Rejoice. Jesus said, when you see all these things taking place, rejoice. Lift up your head. Can I close with this trademark you must have? It's one word. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Look at it. John 6:33. Write it down and capitalize that word. Be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Ready to sing? Let's look at it quickly. Give us an amplified Bible, amplified classic. John 6:33. We should not be like the rest of the world. John 6:33. Quickly. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, take a look, you will have tribulations and trials and distress. Pastor, last month it was 5,000. Now it's 7,500. You can be sure next week it'll be 10,000. But be of what? Take courage. Back this word. Be confident, certain, undaunted. I came to this town 1989. No, 1988. I've been living this town since 1988. And all these years, there's one common fact I noticed. Things are always going up in price. Around 1990, my wife would take 500 naira to the market at Ibadan and buy foodstuff for a whole month. 500 naira. Rabbi, can you imagine that? Rats have eaten up 500 naira. Pata pata. Kuti ekulemo. Without Congo rice nation. So, and every time that happens, I have to come back and say this. And I'll say, oh God, see, I'll suffer more. I'm a minister. See, I'll go through. Then one day dawned on me that the Bible says the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I ran up like this. Let's use every trial, physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, as a breeding ground for our faith. Have you noticed that the ground that actually brings up good harvest is where we dump tomato, agriculture, all those things that are wasted food, things like that, and they make the ground fertile so that I can yield greater harvest. I believe that this is a dumping ground for all troubles in the world, Nigeria, so it can be a fertile ground for us to grow. And we are going to get better in Jesus' name. Can we get up on our feet? One song says, I take a stand. I stand. I want you to take a stand, Lord. I take a stand with my salvation. I take a stand to explore all that you have given me. I take a stand not to drop my hands, not to drop my head, but to look up, to be, to do, and to have all that you want me to have and be and do. Can you get a song for us out of I stand with arms I stand. My soul, Lord, to you surrender. I am, is yours. Can you help us? Hold on. We are looking for the song. Can you find the song for us? What did he say? Can you help us say it out?
I stand with hands high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours.
Hallelujah. Let's do it.
I stand with arms high, arms high, and hearts abandoned in hope of the one who gave it all.
Generations coming behind us and to their own generations, so soon we're having grandchildren and cool like that, how would they take a look at you? What would they say about you? You know, David grew up in an environment, David watched older men around him, and David said, I have been young, now I'm old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Are we here, everybody? David was not talking about himself. He said, I've been young, now I'm old. He saw Jesse's father. He saw other elders. What are we giving? You know, yesterday, or 2 days ago, I got a text message from my brother. One of our uncles died in the village. They mentioned his name to me. You know what came to my mind first was laziness. The legacy that this man, that he never been responsible. And I wonder how he lived that so long. Because when I was small, he was never responsible. He would just do whatever he used to do. Just do anything. And you know, I'm thinking, what will our kids remember about us? What do our grandkids say? Oh, grandpa was just victorious. He just stands on his ground. He never gives up. No matter what happened. Even when Nigeria was collapsing, he was still standing tall. And that's you and me. Hallelujah, somebody here. So I want you to know that we are bearing testimony to coming generations. Those ones who have come before us and those who are after us, we're going to be different in the name of Jesus, carrying the banner of faith high. Am I making some sense this morning? That day, today, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, as you go to work, as you do something, knowing that you are adding something more to that legacy. Praise God, somebody. Take somebody's hands beside you. Say, Lord, make her to be blessed. Make him to be blessed. And make him a blessing. Lord, in all this, bless her and make her a blessing. Bless him and make him a blessing. Lord, in all this going on, bless him, bless her. Lord, make her a blessing. Make him a blessing. Make him a dynamic force. And let that force impact lives in the name of Jesus. Oh, increase your blessing over her, over him. Increase your blessing through her. Let our words and our actions experience your blessing every way. I want you to come against limits in that person's life. Say, limits, whatever it is, physical limits, maybe health issue, maybe financial limits, maybe emotional limits, maybe career limits. Say, Lord, I come against, along with him, along with her, I come against every limit. Oh, by my God, I leap over the wall. By my God, I run through a troop. By my God, we run through a troop. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for my sister. Thank you for my brother. Thank you, Lord, for helping her to come over the barriers. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Finally, say, Lord, let him be of good cheer. Let her be of good cheer every day. To be a champion, standing when others are falling. Becoming a beacon of light, shining both near and far. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Tell the person beside you, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord preserve your life. The Lord make you all that he wants you to be. So you can spread the glory of his kingdom through your life and through your work. In Jesus' name. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Let's have our seat. Hallelujah. Quickly, today's second Sunday, if I'm right. Let's give our pastor's offering while they are singing. Then we give our offering to get out of here. Praise the Lord. Wow, glory to Jesus. You know why I'm glad? Really glad now, because you are cheered up. Because you are going extra mile. Praise God, somebody.
Remember those walls that we call sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose.